It's the Sound Kitchen.
Mmm, yummy.
It's the Sound Kitchen.
Ooh, that sounds delicious.
You're listening to the Sound Kitchen.
Yummy.
And Susan Owensby's cooking.
Bienvenue and welcome to the Sound Kitchen, where you never know what you'll be served. I'm Susan Owensby. It's Saturday, the 18th of January, the, 18th day of 2025 in the Gregorian calendar. Quick, math geniuses, there are how many days left in the year? Yep, 347. You got it. Gold stars all around. World Radio Day is coming up. It's on the 13th of February. As we do every year, we'll have a feast in the Sound Kitchen filled with your voices. Send your short, recorded World Radio Day greetings to the Sound Kitchen at rfi.fr by the 1st of February. This year's theme is radio and climate change, but you don't have to talk about the theme. If you just want to say hello, that's fine too. Be sure you include your name and where you live in your message. Most importantly, get under a blanket to record. This will make your recording broadcast quality. Now, don't put it off. The date is close, and I expect to have my mailbox overflowing with your greetings. The address again is the Sound Kitchen at rfi.fr. That's the Sound Kitchen, all one word, no spaces, at rfi.fr.
This is Radio France International. Let's find out what's cooking in the Sound Kitchen.
There were two letters in the Sound Kitchen mailbag from India this week describing last week's festival called Lohri. This is what Jayanta Chakrabarty from New Delhi wrote. On the 13th of January, the Lohri Folk Festival is observed across India. It's yet another of the country's colorful rituals highlighting our rich tradition and culture. Young and old gather around bonfires in the city's parks and open spaces as dusk descends. There's much fun, laughter, and sharing of joy and togetherness as they dance around the bonfire. It's not just the warmth of the bonfire from the chilling weather, but one of renewal and cleansing, where past grievances are forgotten. People also express a gratitude for the bountiful harvest and thank the sun god for light and warmth and the growth of crops. No Indian festival is complete without its unique dishes. For the Lohri festival, there are mouth-watering foods like sarson ka saag, mustard leaf cooked with spices and layered with white butter, eaten with makki ki roti, Indian flatbread. For the sweet taste buds, there are gajak, kheer, and laddus. So, Jayanta, did you dance around the bonfire with your wife, Dipita? Sounds like fun. Bidin Chandra Sanyal from West Bengal sent us this note. May the blessings of the sun god bring you success and happiness. Let's welcome this Makar Sankranti with open hearts and joyful spirits. Wishing you a festival full of delicious food, vibrant kites, and cherished memories. May this Sankranti bring growth, peace, and prosperity into your life. Thanks, Biden. We could use some sun god blessings here in Paris. It's gray, gray, gray.
I am Yusundu. Hello, RFE English.
The Sound Kitchen team is complete. Erwan Rome is at his mixing board behind the glass window in front of us. And our co-chef, Paul Myers, also known as Baby Brother, is right here next to me. Say hello, Baby Brother.
Hello, big sister. How are you?
I am quite well.
That is good news.
Oh, hey, I have to tell you something.
Go on.
A girlfriend here from out of town, and so we went to see the new and improved Notre Dame. And if you watched the thing on television when they consecrated or reconsecrated, whatever it is, it was very, very light. And I thought, oh, well, there's all those camera lights, so I wonder if it's going to look like that normally.
Yeah.
Guess what?
It does.
It does.
Okay.
God bless artisans. It is so beautiful. Remember how it was all so dark and kind of scary? And
I like that.
You're that kind, are you?
Well, it's a medieval church.
Well, it was very medieval. Well, it's still medieval. It's beautiful. Mm. But it is so light and it's so clean. I saw loads of things I've never seen before. Emily also. We were just, And
what, Emily in Paris?
Emily in Paris. All right, fair Emily enough. In Paris. And because the sun was out, that's when you have to go, is when the sun's out. The light coming through, the sun coming through coming through all the stained glass windows played upon the pillars, the walls. It was absolutely breathtaking. And I'm not a big, let's go look at a church person. You know, as an American, I got over here and I overdosed on cathedrals. I'm kind of like, another one. But this is really stunning.
Well, on saying that, I had the same kind of opinion, but I read some Gustave Flaubert, at school. And one of his Trois Contes is about a stained glass window in Rouen Cathedral. And he goes all Flaubert on describing the stained glass.
A couple of pages.
And words which I have happily forgotten. But when I got to Rouen for the first time, I went in, obviously because of that, to look at the stained glass windows. And they were spectacular. Good ones too in Tours Cathedral. If you're ever in Tours, I was down there last week.
Okay.
Went round Saint-Gastien, the church there, Saint-Gastien. Very beautiful stained glass windows there. So, yeah.
I will keep that in mind.
I'll go to Notre Dame to compare the two.
There you go. I did. Emily took a bunch of pictures.
Yeah.
And so I'll put them on Facebook for the listeners. You can see how incredible it is. Okay. Off we go. Still to come, the quiz, your answers to the bonus question on the Listener's Corner with Paul, Olia's Happy Moment, and a tasty musical dessert from Erwan on Music from Erwan. So don't touch that dial.
Are you ready? I do hope so.
And so do I, because it's time for the quiz. On the 7th of December, I asked you a question about the International Court of Justice, the ICJ, that had just begun to hear evidence from 98 countries and 12 organizations about climate change and how to establish rules for rich nations to support poorer ones who are on the front lines of climate change. It's a landmark case brought by students in 2019 from the University of Vanuatu, the Pacific Island nation heavily impacted by climate change, led to a UN General Assembly resolution in 2023 asking the ICJ for a formal opinion on the legal obligations of states to protect the climate system. The court will also consider whether large polluting nations can be held liable for damages to vulnerable countries like small island states. You were to read Paul Meyer's article, Small Island Nations Lead Fight for Climate Justice at UN's Top Court, and send in the answer to this question. In addition to the small island states and developing countries, who else did the ICJ hear from? Paul, what's the answer?
To quote a very well-written article,
I must say. It was a beautifully written article.
The court will also hear from the United States and China, the world's top two emitters of greenhouse gases. The oil producer group OPEC will also give its views. The 15 judges at the ICJ will hear submissions until 13th of December and deliver their decisions next year. In addition to the quiz question, there was the bonus question. What do you remember about your first boat journey, and how did you feel when you were back on land? The question was suggested by Litton Ahmed Mia from Nowghan in Bangladesh. You'll hear the answers later in the Listener's Corner, so please do stay with us.
The winners of this week's quiz are Fatimatouj Zahra, who's the co-secretary of the Shetu RFI Listeners Club in Naugaon, Bangladesh. Fatimatouj is also this week's bonus question winner. This is what she wrote about her first boat journey. A boat trip can be a serene and adventurous experience, depending on the type of trip, the surroundings, and the purpose of the trip. A memorable boat trip for me was in 2020. I took my first boat trip on Kaptai Lake in the Ranjamati district of Bangladesh. The water of Kaptai Lake was deep, blue, and calm. The experience of traveling in calm water was exciting, but scary. I didn't know how to swim. So there were two feelings, fear and excitement. I was tense thinking about what I would do if the boat sank, but eventually I relaxed and ended up enjoying the beautiful and picturesque view of the distant mountains, which still brings a thrill of joy to my mind. Congratulations on your double win, Fatimatouj. Also on the list of lucky winners this week is AKM Nuruzaman, who's the president of the RFI Amur Fan Club in Rajshahi, Bangladesh, and RFI Listeners Club members Babi Noor Alhaya Hussain from Baripada in Odisha State, India, and Radhakrishna Pillai from Kerala State, also in India. Rounding out the list of this week's winners is RFI English listener Lidan Islam Kondekar from Naugaon, Bangladesh. Congratulations to this week's winners, and thanks to each and every one of you who wrote in. On Monday, we published an article, Exhausted Frenchman Held in Iran Since 2022 Reveals Identity in Plea for Help. It's about Olivier Grandot, a 34-year-old French national who was arrested and sentenced to 5 years behind bars for, and I quote, conspiracy against the Islamic Republic. His family, as our article notes, rejects the charges, saying Grandot traveled to Iran on a tourist visa as part of a world tour. There are two other French nationals currently in Iran's prisons as well, and there's your question. What are their names, and with what crimes have they been charged? Again, reread our article, Exhausted Frenchman Held in Iran Since 2022 Reveals Identity in Plea for Help, and send in the answer to this question. What are the names of the two other French nationals currently in prison in Iran, and with what crime were they charged? You'll find our article on the Sound Kitchen page on our website, rfienglish.com, as well as on the Sound Kitchen and the RFI English Listeners Forum Facebook pages. Paul, what's this week's bonus question?
It was suggested by Saba Binte Sumaya from Bogura in Bangladesh. And her question is, which profession do you find is best and why?
How about you, baby brother?
Doctors and teachers. Doctors. Doctors and teachers, yes.
Okay.
And you?
Basically the same.
Right.
Basically the same. Teacher, nurse, firefighter.
Three.
I'm sorry, I've got three.
Three professions.
I've got three. Well, you got two, so I got three. I'm older than you.
Okay.
Remember.
I won't argue.
I've got 30 days on you, boy.
And why?
Well, I, as I've aged, I've come to believe very strongly that ignorance is the root of all evil.
Okay.
And of course, teachers try to root that out.
Yeah.
Right. And then nurses. Full disclosure: my mom was one.
Okay.
And firefighters, those are, you know, thinking about L.A. right now, but I'd always thought firefighters were very noble because they do amazing things for people they don't even know. I think it's wonderful.
It was interesting to hear some of them interviewed and the psychological impact of doing it all, because they say that one of them, who I heard, was saying that their idea is to go in and save everything, and they actually have to take this decision. It's not about the property, it's about saving the lives.
Right.
And property can always be, you know, rebuilt. But it's also about saving the lives. And it actually got me thinking about this program I used to watch when I was a kid called Thunderbirds, an international rescue. And they went round saving people in difficult situations. And the guy who ran it all, a guy called Jeff Tracy, was saying, you know, listen, sons, it's about going in and saving lives, because properties and buildings can always be rebuilt, but you can never get a life back.
Exactly.
So that was, he said, the mission of international rescue. It's called Thunderbirds, and it was made in the 1960s. And it always stayed with me, that idea of saving people is much more important than saving lives. Anyway.
Yes, it is much more important than saving property. You said saving lives.
Say saving property. Sorry,
yes, saving yes, property. Yes, much, much, much. Okay, what about you, dear listeners? Which profession do you find the best and why? And remember, we're always happy to hear your ideas for bonus questions, so please send them in. Thanks again, Saba, for the suggestion. You have until the 10th of February to get your answers to the quiz and the bonus question in. Be sure to tune in on the 15th of February to hear if your answer wins a prize. As always, be sure you include your postal address with your postal code. And don't forget to let me know if you are a Miss, a Ms., a Mrs., or a Mr. I don't want to get it wrong.
Send your quiz answers to english.service@rfi.fr. That's english.service@rfi.fr. Always include your postal mailing address, and if you have one, your RFI Club membership number.
This is the Sound Kitchen.
Sound Kitchen.
And Susan Owensby's cooking.
And now, more from and about you. It's time for the Listener's Corner. Take it away, baby brother.
The question you answered this week was, what do you remember about your first boat journey, and how did you feel when you were back on land? It was suggested by Litton Ahmed Mia from Naugan in Bangladesh. Well, some people had terrifying experiences, and that's the case for John Yemi Sunday Turai, who wrote, "My first time in a boat was from Barra to Banjul, the Gambian capital. The owner of the boat failed to check the engine before we launched, and we were far out at sea when the engine stopped. It took about an hour to get that engine to work again, and I was confused and nervous for the entire year following that misadventure." Dipita Chakrabarti had a frightening first experience too. And this is what she wrote. "My friends and I went on a picnic to the countryside. We decided to have a boat ride in the nearby river. All went well as we navigated through calm water. But all of a sudden, all heaven broke loose when in midstream, we encountered turbulent water with huge waves hitting our small country boat. There were shrieks and screams all around. The boatman told us to remain calm as he expertly steered his boat into calm waters and headed for the safety of the shore. That was a frightening boat experience, and I'll never forget it." For Father Stephen Warra, it was the same. He wrote, "It was all scary, especially at moments of high tide. And once back on land, it was all about heaving one big sigh of relief." Kripa Ramkaga's first boat trip was also not much fun. And this is what he wrote. "It was on the river Narmada, and I don't have any good memories. The ship was already quite old, and there were many people and goods packed tightly on the ship. The ship's engine made a lot of noise. It made the whole ship vibrate. I was happy and relieved when I arrived and I could leave the ship."
Well, whoa, I'm certainly glad all of you made it back to terra firma. I wonder, are you still uncomfortable on boat trips? Hey, Paul, you weren't here that week. Do you remember your first boat trip and how you felt when you got back to land?
I can't remember anything too horrendous. I do have a coach journey to recount, though, and if that... Does that count?
What's a coach in British English?
Yeah, bus.
Oh, a bus trip. Okay.
It was... That's more remarkable because it was when I was in Ghana and I was travelling from Accra along to the West Coast, and I went to the central bus station in Accra, got on early, and then everyone started getting in and bringing their cases, and they started putting the cases by the emergency exit.
Oh.
There's one or two. And so I said something to the driver. He just ignored me. And then everybody, more people got on, and they just packed up the emergency exit. And I just sat there starting to freeze in the searing heat. And we got, just before we got going, the bus driver stopped and said a prayer. By which time I was just stiff with fright. Sort of rigid foreigner. And I think when we got to our destination, they managed to kind of carry me out. And I walked down, and I have never been so relieved to get back onto terra firma again. And I think that's probably the same with those boat journeys which people were
on. It sounds like. Boy, I've been on some buses in Mexico.
Yeah.
With chickens, goats.
Yeah.
Those were fun trips.
That's it.
Now, I didn't answer the question, and I can't remember, but I have to ask my brothers and sisters. I think the first time I was on a boat was actually on a submarine.
Oh, yeah, right.
Because my dad was in the Navy, and I do have this vague memory of, I remember being on the submarine. Now, whether we left or not, I don't know. I don't know if we left the port but I don't remember being frightened at all because I was so little and my dad was there and he knew everything.
Yeah.
Anyway, I want to read an answer that is not about a boat journey, but it's very charming. It's from Salim Akhtar Chadhar, who I think must have understood the question as first trip, period. This is what he wrote. My first journey in my childhood was to Botswana with my father. Salim lives in Pakistan, by the way. I enjoyed it very much. It was my first journey to a city. There were so many people and I was confused. I was surprised by all the shops with fruits, vegetables, and clothes. Then there was a general store where I saw so many toys. Of course, I wanted them all. My father bought a wooden tractor for me. Salim, I'm imagining that tractor, surely hand-carved, as quite beautiful. I wonder if you still have it. Okay, baby, your brother. Who else remembers their first boat trip?
Radhakrishna Pillai does, and he wrote, I have traveled in ships and boats to different parts of India, including the Andaman and Nicobar Islands. But my first boat memory was from Kanyakumari to Vivekananda Rock Memorial in the southernmost part of India. It happened in my childhood. I was terrified when the boat floated across the waves. It was thrilling and unforgettable. And by the way, Vivekananda Rock Memorial is one of the most visited tourist attractions in India. It was with mixed feelings that Malik Muhammad Mehtab Kokar took his first boat trip too. He wrote, it was a dolphin watching tour from Karachi at the Arabian Sea. At first, I was afraid that the ship would get caught in a storm and sink. I looked closely to see where the life jackets were stored. But after a short time, I felt safer on the ship and was overwhelmed by the loneliness of the small ship with no connection to land. It was as if all worries and problems were left behind. When we returned, I got a headache from all the people running around busily and shouting. Just a few hours ago, I thought there had been only silence as far as the horizon. And back on land, there were only busy people running around as if in disarray and coming and going in vehicles. In the end, I didn't see any dolphins, but even so, it was a great adventure. There were no mixed feelings for Helmut Matt, who wrote that his first boat trip was very romantic. Here's what he wrote. It was a small punt in which we glided almost silently through the waters of the Spreewald near Berlin. In between, the boatman stopped at a farmer's house where we tried homemade Spreewald gherkins and lard bread. After the trip, we were happy and enthusiastic and resolved to do it again soon. Too bad we still haven't done it yet, but you should never say never. We'll close with Jayanta Chakrabarty, who wrote, cruising by houseboat. They're called Shikara in the Alleppey backwaters of Kerala. It's the most delightful experience one can have. This southern state in India is better known as God's own country for its exquisite natural beauty. The day-long boat ride is a popular tourist activity that offers an unforgettable experience of witnessing the beauty of swaying palm trees and mangroves along the lagoon coastline and watching water birds diving for fish. You'll also be feted with mouth-watering dishes that include grilled fish served on banana leaves in this comfortable and relaxing adventure. Sounds like a tourist brochure, that one. Wow. And there you have it. Remember, everyone, this week's bonus question is, which profession do you find is best and why? Thanks again to Saba Binte Sumaya for the suggestion. Do you have a bonus question idea? Well, if so, send it to us at The Sound Kitchen, all one word, no spaces, at rfi.fr.
That's it for today's Listener's Corner. Thanks, everyone, for participating. And a special thanks to Paul Myers for hanging out in the kitchen with us.
A pleasure, as always.
This is The Sound Kitchen, where you never know what you will be served.
Time to get happy with Ms. Olya Horton.
Just take a pinch of inspiration, a bunch of good vibes, a drop of creativity, and sprinkle it with sunshine, and there you have the perfect recipe for a happy moment. Hello, Sound Kitchen listeners. Olya Horton from the RFI English team. I hope you are well. First of all, I'd like to wish you all a very happy new year. May 2025 be one of discoveries, challenges, and satisfaction. Speaking of discoveries, I got my new year off to a great start in this department. Over the Christmas period, I spent a lovely moment catching up with family and friends in my hometown near Sydney, Australia. And on the 1st of January, I went on a marvellous walk in a part of Sydney I had previously only known by name. Following a footpath that gradually became a walking trail, we went in and out of small bays on the northern shore of the harbour, where if you look carefully, you can see the iconic coat hanger-shaped harbour bridge poking through the trees and the buildings. For more than an hour, we went up and down steep hills, through nature reserves, past small marinas, and lovely houses with views over the water. We saw so many different varieties of plants and flowers, and the foliage was full of native birds squawking and bush turkeys pecking around. You'd never know that you were so close to a big city. After a while, we came to a lookout spot where across the bay we could see the Opera House with its white sail-like roof glinting in the sun. Of course, we all stopped to take a photo. It was just like a postcard. We decided to have a break in a park beside a little beach called Sirius Cove, where families were picnicking and splashing around in the water. It was an idyllic scene, a little bit like a classic old painting. We had something to eat, we had a swim, and we topped off our walk with a ferry ride across the harbour, right back into the heart of the city, a bird's eye view that wrapped up a perfect outing. What made me happy about this day was spending time outdoors, in the sunshine, of course, but also discovering a new place only an hour away from where I grew up. Sometimes it takes living in another country for a while to really appreciate rediscovering our own backyard. How well do you know your hometown, your state, your region? Perhaps it's time to take a closer look, play the tourist, and see something new. What about you? Do you have a happy moment to share with your fellow Sound Kitchen listeners? Don't be shy, you can send them to the Sound Kitchen or get in touch through Facebook. You can leave a message on the Sound Kitchen answering machine or go ahead and record your happy moment and send it to us in an email. All the addresses and phone numbers you need can be found on the Sound Kitchen page of our website, rfienglish.com. When you record, just make sure you hide under a blanket. It makes for better sound quality. That's all from me this week. Thanks for listening. I'm Olya Horton. Enjoy your weekend. Bye for now.
Thank you, Olya. You can hear Olya's happy moment usually on the first Saturday of every month. Before we go, don't forget to send your short, recorded World Radio Day greetings to the Sound Kitchen at rfi.fr by the 1st of February. That's just 2 weeks, you guys. Be sure you include your name and where you live in your message, and most importantly, get under a blanket to record, which will make your recording broadcast quality. So don't put it off. Again, the date is really close, February 1st. Okay, my friends, it's time to clear the table and wash the dishes. Thanks for joining us in the Sound Kitchen, and keep those cards, letters, emails, and text messages coming. Many, many thanks to our sound engineer, Erwan Rome, for his expertise, his input, and his mixing magic. And thanks to you for listening. Be sure and tune in next week, the 25th of January, for the answer to the question about Russia and Syria. The Sound Kitchen podcast is ready for you every Saturday on the RFI English website, rfienglish.com, or wherever you get your podcasts. I'll play you out with music from Erwan, our sound engineer, who's also a musician. This week, Erwan had good news, and he's feeling like the piece of music he picked for us, Freddie Hubbard's The Intrepid Fox. Freddie Hubbard was an American jazz trumpeter. Born in 1938, Hubbard's unmistakable tone contributed to, as Scott Yano wrote for AllMusic, new perspectives for modern jazz and bebop. In 1958, after completing his studies, he moved to New York and began playing with some of the best jazz players of the era. Throughout the 60s, Hubbard played on some of the most important albums from the era, but he had his greatest popular success in the 1970s with a series of albums, which includes Red Clay, from which the piece Erwan chose for us, The Intrepid Fox, comes from. He was awarded a Grammy Award in 1972 for another of those 1970 albums, First Light. Freddie Hubbard continued to record and play at the world's leading jazz festivals almost up to his death in 2008. So here it is, The Intrepid Fox, written and performed by Freddie Hubbard and his quintet. Music from and for our very own Intrepid Fox, Erwan Rome. Thanks again, Erwan, for another musical journey. I'm Susan Owensby. Be well, do good work, be kind, and stay in touch. And remember, do not confuse human beings, our brothers and sisters, with their governments. Stay safe, my friends. And be a blessing. Be a rainbow in someone's cloud. Talk to you all next week.
We'll be right back.